Appreciate that good prayer. If you want to turn with me this morning, we'll be in Psalm 134. I ask that you would continue to pray for me this morning. I want to speak on the subject of the cycle of praise and blessing. So we'll read Psalm 134, and it's one of the shorter psalms, and it won't take very long, but Lord willing, we will be able to bring out the glorious truths of this word. Psalm 134, verse 1, it says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion." This is a short passage of scripture, but I think that there are many hours of rich teachings in here, and I won't go many hours, Lord willing, this morning, but I want you to see this is a great psalm that encourages us as God's people to bless the Lord that has blessed us. And I want to tell you a story about probably one of the toughest men that I've ever met. I had the opportunity to meet this gentleman about 25 or so years ago when I was pastoring the church in Crestview, Florida. But there was an individual there. His name was Thornton Peck. Nobody called him Thornton or Mr. Peck. Everybody called him by his last name, Peck. His wife called him Peck. And here's a pro tip for you. If you know anybody that's just called by their last name, most of the time they're pretty tough individuals. But Peck was the base commander, retired base commander of Eglin Air Force Base out in the Panhandle. And he was an older gentleman when I had the opportunity to meet him, and he had been retired for some time. But after World War II, Peck was a test pilot for jets before they had refined the process of jets. And I was amazed at the many stories that he would tell us as he was a test pilot and then flew jets in Korea and then flew jets in Vietnam and his military career. To tell you how tough he was flying a jet one time, an experimental aircraft, and the canopy blew off, and he was up there flying this jet without a canopy. He crashed a jet one time on a mountain in West Virginia and crawled with two broken legs to find somebody to call back the headquarters where he came from. So this was one of the toughest men that I knew, and I knew him. He was up in his 80s and still driving around, and he didn't have full use of his legs to just tell you the type of man that he was. He didn't have full use of his legs, but he still got around and still drove, and he's the only individual that I've ever known to drive a vehicle. He would pick up his leg and throw it on the gas pedal when you were riding with him, and then when he wanted to hit the brakes, he'd pick up his leg and throw it on the brakes. He was tough, and Peck and his wife, they were the Christmas and Easter attendees for a number of years. His wife grew up as a Primitive Baptist, and they would come Christmas and Easter, and again, you had this full bird colonel that was the retired base commander of the Air Force Base out there, and all of these stories of how tough he was. And they came on a Sunday that wasn't Easter or Christmas sometime after that, and he wanted to see me and wanted to see the deacons of the church, which we thought was unusual. We didn't know what he wanted, and again, he was this very tough man, and so we just didn't have a clue. But he met with us before church, and he came and he had tears in his eyes. He came and he was crying, and we thought, well, there must be something terribly wrong. Well, as he visited with us, he had a piece of paper with us, and during this time, the church had built a new sanctuary not too terribly long before we had moved out there. But Peck came with the deed to the church and presented it to us and said, "You don't have to worry about the paying off the note on this building anymore." And that just blew us away. We didn't know what to say. But then he started talking to us and expressed the sentiments of this psalm. So I think about him every time I read this psalm. But he said, "The Lord has been so good to me. He has blessed me and blessed my family and seen to my needs all of my life. And this is just but a small token for what I can do because of how the Lord has blessed me. The Lord got a hold of Peck somewhere along the way in there, and his heart was tendered towards the things of God. And not only did he give that generous gift to the church out there that was a great blessing, but he and Sister Evelyn started coming to church regularly and had the opportunity to baptize them not too long after that. But you have things that just stick with you for years and years and years. And as long as I live, as long as I'm in my right mind, I'll never forget what he said. He says that the Lord has blessed me so much. You know, the Lord has preserved me. He said, I've crashed so many planes that I should have been dead about three or four planes ago. He's blessed my family. He's seen after my needs. And he says, because the Lord has blessed me, this is just but a small thing that I can do in thankfulness for the blessings of God. And what we have here in the 134th Psalm is this psalm that commands us numerous times to bless the Lord that has blessed us. If your Bible is like mine, there's a heading over this one that says a song of degrees. And these were psalms that were sang as the Old Testament church, as Israel, as they would go to worship, as they were going up to worship, they would sing these songs. Psalm 133 is one of these songs of degrees or songs of ascents. If you translate the word degrees here, they were going to church songs. Well, the 15th and final one of those psalms is Psalms 134. And if I understand correctly, this was a leaving after church song. They would go to the temple for the various festivals and activities that they were called to do as the children of Israel. They would sing these songs, psalms, and in song form, and it would prepare their hearts to go and offer up their sacrifices unto God, to honor God through the feasts and the festivals that he had commanded them to come to Jerusalem and recognize. Well, this one here was a song that they sang after they left the service of God, after they left the tabernacle or the temple. They would sing this song, and the way that they would sing this song is they would do it in a call and response format. One group would sing these first two verses, and then another group would sing that third verse, "The Lord that made heaven and earth bless thee out of Zion." Very simply this morning, my friends, this psalm is a psalm about blessing and being blessed. Simply stated, this psalm here teaches us that we are called to praise. The word bless here, I think, is synonymous with praise as far as on our end. We're called to bless the Lord who blesses us. Isn't that a wonderful concept to think of this morning? And this psalm here, as we read this, it answers a big question for us as God's people as far as what we're supposed to be doing here this morning. This teaches us that as God's people, that the why, as far as why we come and worship God. Do you realize this morning, our big why here is that we are called to bless the Lord that blesses us. We're called to praise God through song, through our activities, through our energies. We're called to praise the one who is the creator over all and the one that's blessed us. So I want you to picture in your mind here this morning, they are leaving the tabernacle. And now as they're leaving joyously, and they're leaving motivated to serve God. As they would go back home, one group would sing, "Praise the Lord, bless the Lord, all ye servants of God. Now bless you, all the servants of God which stand," he says, "by night stand in the house of the Lord." And then the other group would sing about God who has blessed them, who has made heaven and earth and blessed them out of Zion. They were going away from worship happy. And what was their happiness centered on? The blessing of the Lord. So I want us to see that this morning. And I want us to think about the context of worship, what we're called to do. We are called to bless the Lord that blesses us. That's worship in its purest form. So going to verse 1, he says here, "Behold, bless the Lord." So as we have this call here, he brings attention to the people here and he says, "Behold." He starts out many psalms. The previous psalm, he says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now he calls attention to them and says, pay attention here. You are being called here to, as a the people of God, to publicly and corporately bless the Lord and praise the name of the Lord for all that he has done for you. Now, how do we bless the Lord? I want you to understand, as the psalmist writes here, that we are to bless the Lord. He's not talking about anything that we can do to make God any better. I hope you understand that this morning. We can't make God any better than he already is. He's the supreme God overall, but what we can do is audibly and through the way that we live our lives, give praise to the one who has saved us and delivered us. So when you see bless on our end here, you can safely substitute praise. They're saying here, praise the Lord, all ye servants of God. We need to be a people of praise this morning as we gather together in this place. I think one of the greatest challenges I know in my life, but I think in our culture as well, is we forget to give praise to the one who has seen us through it thus far. Praise to the one who has saved us eternally, and praise to the one who's gotten us to where we are right now. And the reminder here as they leave the temple is to bless the Lord, praise him. The 103rd Psalm starts out by saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless thy holy name. Verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. We need to be reminded of God's, as God's people, that we are called to praise him and remember his benefits. The psalmist in Psalm 103, when he talks about remembering benefits, what he's talking about here is recounting the greatness and the grandeur of the person and the work of our God and what Jesus Christ has done for us. When we remember his benefits, we're speaking well of the one who's delivered us. When we praise God, we're to be a people that are thankful. This isn't some deep theological concept here. I like what one person said about this. This psalm is basically teaching us what our mothers probably taught us as kids. You know, if we are grateful to someone, if someone has done something good for us, we're to tell them thank you, aren't we? My mom taught me to say thank you when someone did something good for me. And this is what this psalm is about here. Being thankful, saying thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have given us. With all the strength that I have, thank you. Lord, help us to bless the Lord, as the psalmist said here in 103, bless him with all our soul and bless him with all that is within us. Bless his holy name. If you want to wonder how much is too much blessing and thankfulness to God, you can't get there. There is not enough. Every day we could spend the rest of our lives with every breath that we have saying thank you to the Lord for what he's done for us, and we would never do it enough. But he says here that we are to bless the Lord. Behold, bless ye the Lord. And notice who's included in here. All ye servants of the Lord. Now, I believe that this psalm was originally written to those that were leaving Jerusalem. And I believe that they were speaking, as you go further in this psalm, they were speaking about those that were active in the work of the temple. Now, in the Old Testament time, you had the priests and the Levites that were all about the work of the temple. They were the ones that were doing the work, offering the sacrifices. The Levites were, just for a lack of a better term, they were the deacons of the Old Testament temple and tabernacle worship. And he says here, as they're going to bless the Lord, he says, all ye servants of the Lord, he says, bless the Lord. And notice here he says, those which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Well, I've got news for you this morning, my friends. We all are called to be the servants of the Lord here in the New Testament church. We're called to be a people of praise, a thankful servant unto the Lord. You know, that should be our desire as the Lord's people. That goes for those that God has placed in roles of leadership. I think about, the Old Testament time. You know, those that went about the temple work, be it the priests or the Levites, who took care of all of just the physical needs that come with the Old Testament style of worship. All of them were called to be people that praised and blessed the Lord. And we need to understand that those that we would have lead us as God's people ought to be people that are thankful to the Lord and people that aren't afraid of thanking the Lord. You know, what we do here is we don't run the church like a business. It's not ours to run. It's the Lord's church, and we're called to be thankful. And I like this here, this picture that he speaks of those servants, he says, that stand, he says, by night in the house of the Lord. Going back in the Old Testament time, you know, you had the priests that were offering the sacrifices that the people would bring. You talk about it, quite a job. They worked quite a bit. There wasn't a place in the temple or the tabernacle for the priests to sit down, because their work was continual, because people were continually sinning. They would go about this work and they would do the work that God had commanded them to do. But the work didn't stop at night either. What you read on is that those Levites, there were those that even during the night hours went about the work of the temple. And one of the works of the temple was singing praises unto God. What a picture that must have been. Those servants of God worshiping God. And even during the night hours, they were still going about praising the Lord and giving thanks to God who had delivered them as they offered those sacrifices that didn't save any one of them from their sins. There were words of praise going up to the Lord. You know, the sacrifices, people get tired eventually. That's one of the great blessings in my secular role. And even at night, you guys eventually go to sleep at some point. And at work, trouble usually goes to sleep at some point in the night. But I want you to see here in the service of God, there's not an off switch. There's not a shift where you take off and then you're disengaged or disconnected from it. So the psalmist, when he says here that you're to bless the Lord, and he says, all ye servants of the Lord, he said, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. What he's talking about there is, as servants of the Lord, our praise is to be continual. In the Old Testament time, there was continual praise that was given unto the Lord. There was continual praise, and I want you to understand that we are the blessed beneficiaries of a better covenant, or a greater covenant, than the Old Testament priests and Levites enjoyed. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ has come. What all of that represented in the Old Testament time, what all of that represented was fulfilled when Jesus Christ came into the world, lived his life, laid down his life on the cross, and rose again the third day. Now I submit unto you, if these individuals in the Old Testament time, day and night, could praise the Lord, how much more so should we as God's people who are on this side of the cross praise the Lord day and night and rejoice in the Lord? What a wonderful picture this is here. And let me tell you, if you've been saved, if you've been saved from your sins, if Jesus Christ has died for you and laid down his life on the cross, and I believe he has. If you're here today, I believe that that's a wonderful evidence that you're one of God's children. We need to bless the Lord. All of our lives, day and night, bless the Lord. And let me tell you, it's not about your present circumstances. If you're enjoying a good season in life, praise the Lord for that. But I want you to understand what the psalmist is writing about here is not just when times are good, not just when we have money in our bank accounts, not just when we have the perfect home, live in the perfect neighborhood, we've got just the right job. No, he says we're to praise the Lord, all ye servants of God. And notice what he says here, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. We're to praise God in the daytime, but we're to praise God in the nighttime too. Do you ever have nighttime seasons in your life? Those times in your life where things just aren't going well? You ever have a season in your life where it seems that everything is going wrong? The Word of God teaches us here that we're to praise God even in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night. I want you to understand, as we think about blessing the Lord, praising the Lord in the context of worship. It is not dependent on where we find ourselves in our present circumstances. It's not dependent upon perfect health. It's not dependent upon good health. It's not dependent upon how much money you have, how well everybody's getting along with you and around you. We're to praise the Lord at night. I was trying to think of the verse that came to mind about the priests in the Old Testament. In 1 Chronicles chapter 9, we see that there were those singers, the Levites. 1 Chronicles chapter 9 and verse 33, that they had the job of working in that temple day and night, singing praises unto him. More so, we as God's people should be praising the Lord on this side of the cross. We have so much to be thankful for. And I love the picture here. You know, the priests, they worked in shifts, but eventually, you know, people would go to sleep, but the work still wasn't done. Those Levites, they were still there. Folks were going home, but those Levites, they still had work to do, and their work was to not stop praising the Lord. In the middle of the night, keep singing praises unto God. Why is that? Because God is worthy of our unending praise, is he not? God is worthy of unceasing and uninterrupted praise. It's easy to praise God when the sun is shining, but can you still praise God at night? He says, in the night you praise God. I always think about Paul and Silas when I think about praising God in the middle of the night. Acts chapter 16, we get, you remember, the Apostle Paul and Silas, other ministers there at the New Testament church, their lives were in danger. Their freedom was in danger for preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that didn't discourage them, did it? They went forward and preached the gospel. As Brother Tom mentioned in his opening remarks, they trusted in the Lord, and they, by faith, did not count the consequences that would come from them preaching the gospel greater than the blessings of God. They trusted in God. But we find Paul and Silas, they find themselves in prison in Acts chapter 16. Not only were they in prison, but they were chained up while they were in prison. To add insult to injury, that they were chained up. And what do you read in Acts chapter 16? We read in verse 25, it says this: at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They prayed and they sang praises unto God. It says that the prisoners heard them. Now, why do we praise God in the midnight hour? Well, first of all, we never know who may be listening to what we're praying and what we're praising about. You know, if we're complaining, that's not a great testimony of the God that saved us. But here it says that they were singing praises unto God. They were praying. It said the prisoners heard them. Oh, that we could be such a testimony in our homes and in our communities, that our praises unto God would be heard by all of those around us. And perhaps some of those that hear may be one of God's little children that's seeking some kind of comfort, seeking a place where they can worship God in spirit and in truth. And what a wonderful testimony, far greater testimony than you hearing me complain. Oh, I can complain about everything. It's real easy to complain about stuff. But when we see what the Lord has done for us, we can praise him at midnight. The other reason that we praise God at midnight is because our God is on his throne. And whatever situation we find ourselves in the midnight hour, it's not caught him by surprise. And he is able to bless us in the midst of those midnight hour circumstances. Well, in verse 26, we see what happens is suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that all the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. We can praise God at midnight because our God is never off the job. He never clocks out. He never takes a nap. He's always available and always accessible. They sing praises unto him and he delivers them. Can you bless God when it's midnight in your life? As God's people, we are called to do this. All ye servants of God. That all means all of us. And I want you to understand, we can praise God at midnight. We can praise God anytime and anywhere. Anytime we can praise him. We ought to be praising him everywhere and anywhere that we go. In the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul would say that as God's people, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, he would say, by him, as he's referencing what Jesus has done for us, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. He says that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, we should be offering what he calls here the sacrifice of praise continually. Continually. But I want us to speak again in reference of what we're doing here. That doesn't excuse you from not worshiping God in the place that he has given us here to assemble and gather ourselves together, because the psalmist would say, prior to the verses that we read at the very beginning, he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Praise him continually. Verse 2, very quickly, I want us to see as well that we're called to praise the Lord. Well, I believe a good descriptor here is to sincerely praise the Lord. When we read the second verse, it reads very similar to the first verse, but I think there's some added emphasis here, because in verse 2 he says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And understand this, a lot of times when you read and study God's word and you see words that are repeated, they're not just there as filler material, but they're there for you as a reminder that this is something that's to be emphasized. So you count the number of times where bless the Lord is mentioned here, the name of the Lord is mentioned here in these three verses. That means that it's important. And he says here that we're to lift up our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. I think when he's talking about lifting up your hands here, I think he's talking about more than just giving a little bit of lip service to God, but giving God total praise. Lifting up hands. There's nothing wrong with lifting up hands. I want us to see a little bit what lifting up hands is a picture of, but he's saying here, all of our energy, all of our strength is to be given to praising the Lord. A lifting up of hands is a picture of beseeching the Lord. You do this, it's a posture of praise. It's a posture of needing help. And he says here that we're to lift up our hands. Now, the 47th Psalm will talk about clapping your hands in the sanctuary, but far more often you'll see a lifting up of hands referenced in the Old Testament worship, and there's nothing wrong with it. You know, we've gotten so sophisticated, we're afraid somebody's going to look at us and think that we're weird or something, but they lifted up hands because they saw their need of the deliverance of God. They lifted up their hands. If you want Old Testament reference to this, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul would say to the young man Timothy, he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up hands without wrath and doubting. Now he says men are to lift up hands. Now this isn't a generic word here for man. This is a definite article that said men. He speaks about women in the prior verse, but now he's directed this to men. He says, I will. He says, my desire here is that men everywhere would pray, lifting up their holy hands, he says, without wrath and without doubting. We need men in the Lord's church today that are willing to worship him and willing to praise the Lord and acknowledge that they are dependent upon him. We need godly men who are humble enough to praise God and don't worry about what other people think about them. We get so worried about what people will think about us. Now I'm probably going to step on some toes here, so just hang on for just a minute. Now, from what I understand, there was a little concert in Jacksonville yesterday. George Strait was in Jacksonville. Brother Dan's not here, so I can bring that up. Brother Dan's a big George Strait fan. George Strait was there, and Chris Stapleton, and Little Big Town, and I saw the Facebook pictures. I know who's went there, y'all wonder what people, you know, how'd they find out? Just go to Facebook, you're going to see where people's been. Now, they filled up that Jaguar Stadium yesterday, and I saw some pictures of men losing their minds. George Strait up there picking the guitar, and Chris Stapleton and his beard singing, singing Tennessee Whiskey or whatever he was singing there that night. I just say that if that's what you want to do, that's great, but don't go to the concert and lose your mind over a George Strait song and then come to church and act like you're just frozen in ice. There we go. Yep. Two weeks in, there you go. He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We can get excited about a football game. We can get excited about George Strait. I like George Strait, but I like the finished work of Jesus Christ far greater than whatever old George can sing. Our children, our grandchildren need to see us praising the Lord, acknowledging the Lord, lifting hands. If you feel like lifting hands to the Lord in church, lift your hands. The picture here, though, as lifting up of hands is a picture of surrender. It's a picture of adoration, is it not? It's a picture of submission. It's a picture of dependence. You know, little kids know this, and little kids, I think, can worship God a whole lot better than some of us older folks. I think about my kids when they were small. My baby is not small anymore. All of my babies are quickly becoming teenagers and adults. But we'd have our little kids with us. We'd go to some festival or go to some store. And you know what little kids are going to do? Little kids are going to want to be little kids and get into everything and run around. There comes a time when they just don't want mom to hold them, but they'll run around. But what happens when little Rebe or little Elisha got tired? What would they do? They would come up to mom or dad, and what would they do? They would lift up their hands. Why? Because they had gone as far as they could go, and they needed some help. As God's people, when it says here that we're to lift up our hands, what you're saying there is, I've gone as far as I can go on my own strength. I need you to carry me the rest of the way. Lift up hands, he says here, and praise to God. As the old poet would say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, where shall I go? Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. It is not based on how you feel in this current moment. And I want to tell you about worship. Our worship should not be feeling driven nor emotion driven. Most, and I think it's well-intentioned people, but most of Western worship today is feeling driven and emotion-driven. Our worship here, I hope that as you look at this psalm, I hope that you see that our worship is not to be driven by how I feel or how you feel either, or you know, whatever emotions we're going through right now, but it's to be God-centered. Amen. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. When he says this, who are we to bless? The Lord. Doesn't say bless Brother Michael or bless anybody else. Bless the Lord. It ain't about us. Sometimes people will say, well, I didn't like those hymns that we're saying in church. Well, we weren't singing to you. If you don't like the sermon this morning, I wasn't preaching about you. I was preaching about God. It's not about us. God is to be the subject and the object of our worship. Worship, the word worship literally means to ascribe worth. We ascribe worth to God because he is worthy. John would say, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth. There's so much more that could be said there. If you don't understand the truth, you can't properly worship God according to the Bible. And I've learned as well, superficial knowledge of God oftentimes leads to superficial worship of God. We're to bless the Lord. We're to lift up our hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. We bless him. Now, I've heard along the way, and as you read behind other people, sometimes people speak of the 134th Psalm as some sort of transactional relationship that we have with God. Some people will say, well, we bless the Lord so he can bless us. I want to dispel that notion right now. What we're talking about here is not tit for tat. It's not some quid pro quo that we have with God. I want you to understand, we bless the Lord because he's worthy of our blessings. And we have to be careful because I know in my own nature, in my own flesh, I can remember times where I'd try to make a deal with God. You know, we're in test season right now in our schools, and prayer in schools significantly goes up when kids have tests. As long as there's going to be prayer, tests in school, there's going to be prayer in schools. And I remember there were some of those times where I hadn't prepared like I should have. I got very fervent in my prayers. We can do that in our lives. But I want you to understand that this is not us blessing God so that he will bless us. Because can we ever balance the balance sheet, if you will, as far as God's blessings towards us? No, we cannot. Think about this. In the 150th Psalm, I believe, the psalmist writes, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Praise ye the Lord. You know, that's basically telling me that every time I take a breath, that's a wonderful blessing and a wonderful gift from God. You know, everything else aside, the breath that I take, I can't even the odds with that, with my praise and what I could do for God. And when you think about it, there's nothing that we can do to earn the favor of God because he owns everything. But he says we're to bless God, we're to praise God because he is worthy. In our worship, he is worthy. And going on, you see those first two verses, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Lift up your hands up in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. We see our dependence upon him. And then we see the cycle in verse 3, and this is wonderful. This would be the response that one group would say to the other group that would say those first two verses. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. I'm thankful to tell you this morning that our God is still in the blessing business. For those of you like me that just struggle in life and get overwhelmed with the stresses and the trials of life, that's good news, isn't it? The Lord that hath made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. This word thee here, this word thee is a singular pronoun. And what he's saying here is the Lord blesses you out of Zion. So he hones in on the individual here. You know, this isn't a verse that says the Lord blesses y'all out of Zion. It says the Lord blesses you. What does that mean? It means that God is able to bless and blesses us specifically and individually based off of the needs that we have as his people. Isn't that a blessing to think about? He knows my needs right now, and he blesses. He knows your needs. And that's something to celebrate, isn't it? The Lord bless you. I think of the numbers. Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord maketh his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. He knows what I need, and he's able to bless me. I'm thankful that you think about fashion and garments. I'm thankful that our God is not an off-the-rack God with his blessings, but he tailors his blessings specifically for us as his people. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? God blesses us, the one who made heaven and earth. Let me just leave you with this. I'm thankful for this psalm here. I'm thankful for what we just read in verse 3 because this is a great encouragement. It says, the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. We talked on Wednesday evening a little bit from Psalm 19 about creation and how creation brings glory unto God. Here's a wonderful blessing for those of us that have difficulties and trials and are going through a hard time. The good news is God is the one who has made it all, and he is the one that's able to heal it all. He's the one that's able to restore it all. He can fix it. God has made it in sin. Sin and death has come into the world, and we suffer the effects of sin. But the one who made heaven and earth, do you not believe that he can fix whatever you're going through? He is able to. He is able to restore. He's able to bless. He's able to fix it. So the psalmist says here, it's the Lord that made heaven and earth. He's the one that blesses you out of Zion. Oh, my friends, has he not blessed us? We've been blessed with eternal life. We sang those songs speaking about eternal life, but has he not blessed you right now? You're breathing, no matter how labored your breathing may be due to sickness and old age, you're still breathing. That's a blessing from God. He's the one that's going to bless us tomorrow. He's the one that gives us daily grace. He's the one that knows what we stand in need of tomorrow. He is the one that has blessed us. Oh, my friends, we live in a world that has been impacted by sin. Every part of this world has been impacted negatively by the effects of sin. But it says here that he that made heaven and earth blesses us out of Zion. We praise God because he blesses us. We bless him with what we do here because he's the God of all blessing. Isn't that a wonderful God we serve? We'll close there, and certainly thankful for the wonderful God that we serve. As always, we want to publish the open door to the church. The Lord has blessed us with the church. He's given us a place where we can come out of the world and enjoy his blessings, and we're confident.